This episode of Dean Bakari's Meaningful Show is brought to you by Flashbooks, where you can get best-selling business and self-improvement book summaries that you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes. To learn more and get started for just a buck today, visit www.getflashnotes.com. Welcome to the Meaningful Show podcast, where every single week we work to bring you an inspiring insight, idea, or interview to help you live better, work better, and be better both in life and in business. Brought to you by MeaningfulHQ.com, we've got one very simple goal here on this show, and that is to help you do more of what matters and less of what doesn't. I'm your host, Dean Bakari, and if you're ready, then I'm ready. So let's get into it. All right, today I'm going to share a really, really interesting big idea from a book called Persuasion, written by Robert Cialdini, who is the author of a famous book called Influence, which you might have heard of. And in Persuasion, his latest book, he basically talks about how, look, if you want to influence people, you want to persuade other people to your way of thinking, or if you're trying to sell things, or if you're trying to present yourself in the best possible light, the key isn't in the act of actually persuading people. It's not when you're trying to sell the stuff that you're trying to sell or when you're delivering the message you're trying to deliver. It actually happens before you ever even get there, right? So this book is all about setting the stage, right? What are the things that happen on the back end that make successful persuaders so successful at what they do? That's why he calls it Persuasion. And there's one story that I just can't get out of my head that just really sticks with me from that book. And he shares basically in the book the specific big idea on the principle of unity, right? Building rapport with people to influence others, finding common ground, creating or evoking or finding a sense of unity in other people, right? If you really want to be able to influence them with impact. And he tells this story about how back in the Holocaust, these soldiers, right, these Nazi soldiers would, the way in which that they would treat Jewish people is no secret, right? It was, they would just sick, sadistic way in which they would treat them. But what they would basically do is, one common practice back then was, if a Jewish person did something that was out of line, according to their standards, the Nazi soldiers would basically just line all of them up. If one person screwed up, right, they would line everybody up and they would count to 10 and they would shoot. Boom, just kill every 10th person. Just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Bam, the guy would pull out his rifle and just shoot the person dead, right? So they would line all of them up. If somebody screwed up, somebody didn't put away the dishes, or somebody said something out of line, or somebody wasn't ready to go and they wanted everybody to be ready to go, they would just say, okay, everybody line up. And they would just count to 10 and they would pull out their rifle. Boom, just shoot every 10th person dead. And this was a regular routine that they would do. And so on one specific occasion, Cialdini writes about how this Nazi soldier, you know, lines all the Jewish people up and he does the normal routine, right? He counts to 10, shoots every 10th person. But when he gets to one specific guy, you know, he's the 10th person, he's about to pull out his rifle, he's about to shoot him dead, but he looks at him and he raises his eyebrows, and then all of a sudden he points his rifle to the next guy and shoots him instead. So instead of shooting the 10th person, like every 10th person that he's supposed to be shooting, he instead, on this specific person, with this specific guy, he skipped him and he shot the next guy instead. Why did he do that? So apparently when they questioned the soldier about that later, they're like, hey dude, you know what? Why'd you skip the 10th guy? You're supposed to shoot every 10th Jewish person. What's the deal? And so he asks him, and his response is this: I recognize that man from my hometown. So he had seen that guy on a regular basis. He knew him, right? He'd walk by him at the shops on a regular basis. He would see him at the grocery store. He would say hello to him. You know, he's from his hometown, so he knew him. And simply because he knew the guy, they weren't friends. He just knew him. They'd cross the street. They would look at each other. They'd give each other the customary nod or hello. And they would just continue walking, right? And so he recognized him and he knew him from his hometown. And just because of that, he shifted his rifle and shot the 11th guy instead. And it's really interesting because even a sick, sadistic practice like this, knowing somebody, that emotional connection that you develop when you know somebody, when you have met someone, and even just a hello, you know, goodbye, how are you type of relationship with somebody, nothing deep, just a hi, bye type of relationship, can start to evoke a sense of unity with somebody. So that if you say, for instance, you go to the gym every day and you see a dude that works out at the same time as you do, right? You don't even know that guy's name. You just say hello and say, hey, what's up? How's it going? And, you know, when he needs help spotting with a spot, when he needs a spotter, you spot him. When you need some help, you ask him to spot you. And that's it. That's the end of the relationship. That's the extent of which your relationship goes. That's how far it goes, right? You're not friends. You're just acquaintances. But say, for instance, you were, you know, in another country and all of a sudden you ran into gym dude, right? The same dude that you see at the gym all the time. You'd be like, oh my God, dude, what's up, man? How are you? Holy smokes, what a coincidence, right? What's different there? Nothing really. It's just that when we are planted somewhere else, for some reason, when there's a common sense of, hey, we come from the same place, it strengthens a relationship. It creates some sort of a bond. And so the way that you can translate this into your everyday life when you're trying to influence people is whenever you're talking to people, try to find common ground. And one easy, simple way to do that is, hey, where are you from, right? 50% of the time, probably more, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to know, you're not going to be from the same place that person is from that you're trying to influence. If you are, fantastic. That's instant bond right there. But if you're not, maybe you know somebody who is, you know, or maybe you've been to that place before, or maybe you've been to a city close to where they're from, or maybe you know something interesting about where they're from, right? Always look for some sort of a common connection that you can create, some sort of a common bond with somebody, and that will create instant rapport, a simple sense of unity. It'll ignite that. And then you'll be able to kind of ease into whatever it is that you're trying to, you know, sell or whatever message you're trying to deliver. It just builds a sense of rapport, a friendship of sorts, a very loose one, but a connection still. You get what I'm saying? So always try to establish a sense of unity. That was a key principle that he shared in his book. In fact, it was the 7th weapon of influence. So in his original book, he had 6 weapons of influence that he talked about. And in this one, he introduced a 7th one. And establishing a sense of unity is one of them. And so if you're ever trying to influence people, always look to find some sort of a common bond with them. And an easy way to do that is to, you know, try to figure out where are they from and see if you can connect to where they're from in some way, shape, or form. And you'll be able to influence them with a higher level of impact. If you want the full book summary on this book, Persuasion, we've got it for you over at getflashbooks.com. Until next time, thanks so much for tuning in. This is Dean Bakari telling you to go out there every single day and live like you give a damn. It's Dean. Listen, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. If you found this episode inspiring, or if anything else you've heard on the show has helped you or made an impact on your life in any way, I'd really appreciate it if you showed me a little love with a quick review over on iTunes or on whichever podcast platform you tune into the show on. Every single review helps us reach and inspire more people to live like they give a damn. Listen, if you've got self-help questions of your own that you'd like me to answer live on the podcast, hit me up over at meaningfulhq.com. You can submit them over on the contact page, or you can just shoot your questions directly to me at questions@deanbakari.com. Thanks again so much for subscribing, sharing, and tuning into the show. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's because of you and tens of thousands of other listeners from around the world tuning in every single week, week after week, day after day, that we are able to continue creating content to help you crush it and make an impact in your life and at work. So thank you for being part of this and continuing to share the podcast with your friends, your family, and anyone else you think it could help. Until next time, this is Dean Bakari telling you to go out there every single day and live like you give a damn.